Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
At the heart of any disappointment is unmet expectations. The Day Before Monday is an encouraging and practical podcast giving you the tools to have a happier work experience. Yes, even on Mondays. You no longer need to dread the day before Monday because we are going deep with candid conversations with the experts to help you push your way to happier days at work. And here's your host, Brenda Cunningham of Push Career Management with the Day Before Monday.
Welcome back to the Day Before Monday. I'm your host, Brenda Cunningham. And as anybody who may know me, you know I used to work in corporate America for many years as an engineer, but now I do help other people navigate the world of work. I have been in jobs that I have hated, but I want you to know that you can have a happy career doing work you love at a place that values you. Now, this week, I posted something about professional development and how so many companies have kind of stopped investing in professional development. And it really, really bothered me. I saw folks really engage with some of those posts. They really lit up about the companies who invest in their people and the importance of professional and even personal development. And so with that, I thought, what a perfect time to invite my guest here today, Ms. Lindsay Molenburnt, and she's of AZ BizLink, and then Shannon
Teixeira,
thank you, because I was going to butcher that, of Waste Management. And so I was really excited to bring them both on because they were introduced to me by our producer, Aisha Cogborn. Hey, Aisha. And she says, oh my gosh, you want to talk about professional development? She says, I know exactly who you need to talk to. And she says, these ladies are powerhouses, and she did not disappoint. And so immediately I took to LinkedIn to go research both of you guys. And I found out that Lindsay, you're a real estate expert with a passion for connecting people and businesses with resources for growth, and that you founded AZ BizLink in 2017, really with a slant on professional development and conversations around the modern workforce and leadership. That really caught my attention because of the nature of the work that I do. I'm going to have you introduce yourself in just a moment. But then I went over to Shannon's profile. Happy belated birthday, by the way.
Thank you.
And find out that you are a modern HR leader. And I loved something in your profile. You said the future of work, and you talked about that, and you do your best work for the people of Waste Management currently. And so I'm so excited to jump into this conversation. Would you both please, let me start with you, Lindsay, just kind of give us a quick intro of yourself. So I'm not reading bios. I want to hear your voice.
Thank you. And thanks again for having me today. So as you had mentioned, I launched AZ BizLink back in 2017, and really we're focused on helping individuals to become the best version of themselves, both personally and professionally. So I have the great honor of having great individuals such as Shannon sitting on our advisory board. And so collectively, we're providing highly educational events on a monthly basis for the local business community. I'm passionate about being a connector and just helping people in general. And so however I can be a resource to anybody here in the business community, I'm always happy to do so.
That is awesome. And then you, Shannon, tell us a little bit about the work, the important work that you're doing in HR over at Waste Management.
Sure. And thank you. So great to be here. I think that's where Lindsay and I just found, a great connection, is that we're both connectors and really we're just wanting to create opportunities for businesses, for individuals, and for communities to come together. So the work I do in HR really is around fostering that type of inclusive environment, a space of belonging where people truly can be their best self and do their best work.
You know, I find that our very first guest, Steve Swint, shout out to Steve over at Namel Tally, I found out that there are some folks in HR that actually care about people. Like, really, I think back to my corporate America journey, and I don't think they really gave a crap. You know, it was a job to them. And so I'm curious, what sparked your fires, right? What made you care so much about people and making sure that their workplaces were meaningful and all of this? Let me start with you.
Sure. So, you know, my career journey, which is why I love the conversation we're having today, is really non-traditional. So I would say to a degree I fell into HR, but really it was a thoughtful transition from being in operations. And when I was in operations, just the opportunity of really finding and connecting people and what that meant to business outcomes. And so my desire and love and passion around really trying to create that and continue to forge that forward inside of companies really just ignited, you know, my personal passion. And, you know, I'm so excited to say today that I'm doing the work that I feel like I'm really great at and that I love to do. And I don't feel like I work a day in my life.
So you didn't go to school per se for HR. You went to school for something else and ended up following a passion toward HR.
I did. So, you know, and to that degree, my, you know, first pathway was really around design. So I spent the first 5 years in my career journey doing design, so interior design, and then moving forward into operations, and then ultimately having a degree in marketing. And so I've been able to fuse kind of all of those practices together. And so now today, when people ask me what I do, I tell them that I design and create great places for people to work.
I love that. And I can't wait to talk with you about my daughter's passion. She's 14, but she has an early passion for interior design, and right. She's got that kind of creative gene. So I'd love to get in your head a little bit help nurture that in her. Thank you.
Yes.
Creating beautiful workplaces. I love it. And so tell us your origin story, if you would, Lindsay.
Yeah. So really my background was working in economic development. So I used to work for the Greater Phoenix Economic Council, where we were helping businesses to get acclimated here in the local community. So with that, they were always trying to figure out strategies as far as how they could attract and retain the top talent, especially if there were a new business here in Arizona. And so through that process, we knew the biggest asset to these companies was their people. And so they had to provide a great work environment. They had to provide a great culture. It was about the employee benefits that they were offering. And so because I was involved in those conversations, it was really the focus on people in general. And because of that, that's how I met so many wonderful HR professionals here in the local market. And we continue to have those conversations about what sets people up for success. And right now, I mean, the war on talent it's tough. I mean, there is not a ton of available workforce. And so people are doing everything they can to retain the people that they have. And when they're out there looking for new prospects, they want to make sure that they're setting themselves apart from everyone. So I love to geek out on those conversations. And so certainly I've helped people in the real estate side of things. We can give you the Google atmosphere, right? But you have to have the right culture. You have to have the right leadership in place in order to fill those seats within your organization.
You know, this is peripherally related to our conversation, but I think about, I just posted for a virtual assistant on my Facebook page, right? Of course, if you want referrals, you go to people that you know and trust and value their opinions. And I posted such a simple kind of set of requirements. This is what I'm looking for. And such a simple set of instructions. Do you know, I probably got about 25 people that did exactly opposite of what I asked them to do, and one singular person who followed the instructions. And so I'm finding that sometimes it's not necessarily that the companies aren't doing all that they should be doing to retain that top talent, but sometimes the people are not doing all that they should be doing to position themselves as top talent. What kind of horror stories have you seen in that space? Because we are talking to people who might really hate their job. They hate their current situation. They want to get out, but they don't really know what to do to position themselves. What kind of horror stories have you experienced?
Oh my gosh. probably a number of stories, maybe not quite horrific, but stories of, you know, of folks who are just maybe not connected with who they are and what their personal brand is. You know, and again, I love Aisha because she's done such an incredible job, even for me as a person professionally and personally, just identifying, you know, what is that personal brand? What do I stand for? You know, when I'm not around, what do people think about me? And then how am I showing up in that? And so when, you know, to your question, when you think about horror stories, you know, there's just that disconnect of communication or the disconnect between what am I trying to tell you? What do you need to know? And how am I correlating that based on what you're asking? And so sometimes, you know, I liken it to, you know, fishing in a pond. You know, when you're somebody who's just completely, you know, unsound with the work that you're doing and you want to do anything to get out, you know, you are just willing, you know, to kind of go and do anything. Yeah. But that strategy, you know, probably isn't the best strategy to your point on Facebook, right? Where people are not 100% present. They're not 100% connected to the work that they are aligned and should be doing, that they want to do. And then what is that strategy in which to help them to get prepared for that? So, you know, again, not necessarily a horror story, but just the, you know, I think the proposition of having a strategy and aligning that strategy forward for yourself.
Any horror stories in your world or not so nice stories?
I know, Lindsay. You know, I work with a lot of HR professionals and a lot of different executives here in the market. And I mean, I'm sure they have their fair number of stories. I personally haven't gone through a lot of them, but I could equate it to right now. I feel like there's a lot of passive job seekers and there's so many different job options that are available. And so I don't think people are really putting that much time or energy into the application process where, you know, a couple of years ago in the middle of the recession, it was really hard to find the right opportunities. And I think that's when people were, you know, doing a deeper dive and being more detailed about, you know, their application process.
Okay, so we're hearing it, you know, straight from the horse's mouths here. We need to do our part, right? We need to follow instructions. And a lot of times what you find is that people are testing you even with their job descriptions and their job postings. They're testing you and those tests are embedded right into those postings. And so pay attention. All right, and so we are here primarily, and we'll see, we'll go wherever, you know, nature takes its course, but we are here primarily to talk about professional development today. And so I'm curious, what kinds of things have you chosen to do to develop yourselves? And so we're starting with Shannon. If you're listening, you can't see her. If you're watching the live stream, you can see her beautiful face. But what kinds of things have you opted to do to make sure that you were always kind of at the top of your game?
Sure. So, you know, I would just say at the core, I'm a lifelong learner. And so that craving of information and the craving of connection has just been part, you know, I would say of my own DNA. And, you know, and as I was thinking back around my journey and really the learning journey, my whole path has been incredibly intentional. I've sought out not only opportunities and have sometimes, you know, taken a lateral move or taken a move that, you know, was not an upward mobile move, very much intentionally to ensure that those capabilities, skills, knowledge, and exposure that I was looking for, I could receive. So that was through, you know, through job opportunities, but also beyond that, you know, I would say that getting out of my own comfort zone, finding a group, and I call it a board of mentors. So rather than one, you know, individual mentor, but a board of individuals that I've been able to call on and connect to. And again, I think the magic has been, you know, to a degree for me of finding ways to get out of my comfort zone and to find learning opportunities that maybe were not what I had thought that I needed, but that were really formulating themselves for me to move towards. And, you know, I think even within all of that as well, you know, finding open source education, participating on boards, reading, again, networking, connecting, kind of all encompassed and continues to encompass, you know, my own personal and professional learning.
That's really good. And so even you, Lindsay, I think about how you said you used to work for the Economic Council and you probably, you know, were immersed and you knew all the ins and all the outs during your tenure there. But once you left, how in the world did you choose to stay connected to the things that mattered?
Well, I always like to respond to the needs of the community. And actually, I kind of selfishly created some of these topics and contents because I was just personally really curious about it as well. And so that's really the premise behind AZ BizLink in general is I hand out a questionnaire to everybody that attends and say, you know, what's relevant to you? What's a hot topic? What do you care about? And then we'll find the right leaders in the community to prepare those topics. But as far as just like general, I mean, I always believe in surrounding myself with people that are smarter than I am. And there's a lot of really talented individuals here in our community. I love to surround myself with strong, powerful women, especially. And for instance, I went to dinner with some of them last night. And so just that knowledge and years of experience and expertise that I've been able to gain from them, I feel like that's led to a lot of my success in my career. So I encourage people, as Shannon had mentioned, to make sure that you do find some mentors here in the community, your go-to people that you feel comfortable enough to ask those tough questions to. Yeah. But as far as like overall professional development, a game changer for me was actually working with a life coach. And a lot of people, I didn't realize one, how many people work with them. Once you hire a life coach, I feel like then you notice that everybody else around you has one.
But all, you know, the cool kids have life coaches. Okay.
But for me, you know, early on, I really thought that when you hire a life coach, there has to be something that's really wrong or negative within your life. And what I came to find out is that's not the case. I mean, all we equate it to, you know, what professional athletes do to train. They have to train and work out every single day in order to reach optimal performance. The same is true for us in the business world. So if we're not continuing to challenge ourselves, think outside the box, push ourselves, then we're not going to become the best version of ourselves. So that has been a game changer for me. I really focus a lot of time and energy around time and energy management. That was a game changer for me. And then as far as professional development, I love books and podcasts. I was always a sucker. Every time I went to the airport, I bought the next self-help book.
Even though it was like 25% more expensive at the airport.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. And I would read, you know, six chapters out of it. And then I would sit on my nightstand for 6 months. But what I found out is that for me as an individual, I was impacted so much more by hearing or listening to a real live person. Okay. So podcasts kind of became something that I was into, but then also going to events. So I would find great leaders here in the community and I would want to hear from them. What has set you up for success? And that's the premise of our leadership series for AZ BizLink is now we're bringing those conversations in-house and we do it at a really affordable rate because those conversations can be super expensive. You know, I have friends that have gone to Dave Ramsey or some of those big names and they spend lots of money to go. And I'm not saying that it's not worth it, but for the everyday individuals, it can be kind of expensive.
Now, sometimes one of the things I think I was most impressed by is that you all are all about kind of non-political answers and conversations, and I really like that. And so when people go to your events, can they expect actual answers, you know, not the cerebral woo-woo, just visualize yourself in this space, but more like step-by-step procedures and
I love that you bring that up because actually I really value that. And I was so tired of going to events where I felt like, well, there's some smart people in the room. They're like just talking. But
they want to keep all that to themselves.
And I don't know how to implement that into my life. So really what we focus on, like for our workforce panel discussions, it's a conversation. And so as much as we're bringing the right leaders to the table that are sitting in front of the room, I also think the people that are sitting in the audience are also experts. So I think our group, we're really building more of a community where we're having open conversations, where I want people to feel comfortable and vulnerable to share that stuff because we're all going through it. So how can we all help each other collectively to get through it? And then our leadership events, for me, when it was coming to, like, for instance, our last event was on self-awareness.
Okay.
Great topic, mm-hmm. but not always do we know how do you implement strategies on becoming more self-aware. So at all of our leadership events, we either give you a handout or a worksheet or a toolkit that you can then take and implement in your personal or professional life. So it's a step-by-step. So I feel like it's a little bit more digestible to a lot of people.
I love that word, toolkit. I love just the word tools, right? That's kind of one of my kind of ongoing theme words for the year is just tools, knowing what tool to use in what situation. I think that that is very good. I'm all about being practical, use the right tool for the job. You wouldn't try to, you know, sweep with a hammer. You just wouldn't want to do those things. You'd be making yourself really frustrated and angry over something where there is an easier solution. And so why not reach out to the people who have been there, done that, so we can just skip to the chase, right? Mm-hmm. And just get right down to business. And so I'm jumping around. I have all kinds of notes, but I'm jumping around just because it makes me think about people who really are, I don't know, nervous, afraid of networking. And so there are people in business that are afraid of networking. There are people in corporate America who are afraid of networking. There are people who have been displaced from corporate America who are afraid of networking. Why is this such an evil, bad, ugly, nasty word? What is so bad about networking?
Well, the one thing I think everyone should think about, I mean, we're all walking into a room where we likely don't know somebody. So my whole philosophy that I've taken on and that I encourage other people to do is just try and meet somebody and make them feel even more comfortable in that situation. If you can make them feel more comfortable, they're more likely to open up. You're more likely to have a very honest and transparent conversation. So that's helped in my success when it comes to networking. And also, the other thing is, like by nature, I'm a connector and I'm always trying to help other people. I don't approach those networking events as the immediate direct ROI. What business transaction can I get out of this conversation?
Here's my business card. Call me, right?
You know,
who are you again?
I take time to get to know people and really understand, you know, what are they struggling with, whether that's personally or professionally. And maybe I can lend some insight or guidance or another resource to them. And by having that approach, networking for me became less intimidating.
What about you, Shannon? I mean, was there some magic potion that you drank that made you so comfortable with networking?
I think to Lindsay's point, you know, I think it's the your mindset. And so, you know, as somebody who is an introvert, who has been incredibly shy, you know, the majority of my life, you know, when I first started networking, it was really uncomfortable. You know, how do you break the ice? How do you connect with someone, you know, to look someone in the eye? And I think I had an opportunity where somebody had reached out to me and just made me feel comfortable. And those experiences just, you know, help me build some confidence around, you know, those interactions. And then it was really around framing my mind that I'm there to help. I feel like I'm a connector. I want to help people in any way that I can. And so that has then become my mission and why I go to networking events is really around how can I help others, you know, what can I provide to someone that they may not, you know, have otherwise? Could I connect them to somebody else that they might not know or to information they might not have? And so then it's become fun. I love networking.
Now, I'm going to give you both kudos, praise, props, whatever you want to call it, because before today, we have never met. We have never met one another, and yet we were the product of networking, were we not?
Right?
We were introduced to each other and we did something with that introduction. It wasn't just, oh, okay, you know, thanks for this LinkedIn invitation. Have a good day. Have a great life. It was, okay, here's something that I think could add value to your life. And I think you could add value to other people's lives. And so promptly, you both answered that call without hesitation. Now, whether you went through some mental process or not, but you answered that call. You did that thing that you are advocating for other people to do. And so I just want to call attention to that, that it's not this big, bad thing. it really can be as simple as somebody says, you should know Lindsay, you should know Shannon. And then you go and you reach out to Lindsay and Shannon and say, hey, I heard that you're awesome. I need to know you. Can we meet up? You know, are you willing to come do this thing with me? And you're like, sure.
Yeah, that's actually how Lindsay and I met. Honestly, you know, she was doing some really great things in the community. And I felt like, oh my gosh, I want to know her because I'm wanting to do similar things. And so if we could come together, you know, what would that look like? How could I support what she's doing? And it's just been fantastic, actually, yes, since that time.
Because that's what I'm like, I know we just met, but I can sense that this is so far from the end. Like there's just so much more to be continued with this, you know, this group of ladies, because you guys are up to some really good stuff that I care about, right? I care about careers. I care about workforce. I care about those sorts of things. And so do you. So we automatically have this common ground, and that just helps to make it a lot more organic, right? It's not this forced thing like, oh, here I got to go sit in this room with Lindsay and Shannon for an hour. No, it's like I get to meet Lindsay and Shannon. They're awesome. And so I picked up on the word networking. You guys have been using the word connector. And so to me, they're a little bit synonymous. You are actively connecting organizations with other organizations and people. And then that is really the same kind of concept behind networking. And so just in case anybody thought I was losing my mind, like, where did we start talking about networking? That's why, because I keep hearing that word connector and it means something to me. And I love that is a word that describes the both of you. Really good job. Really good job. All right. And so I've heard a couple of terms. I've heard the term life coach before, of course, and I'm acquainted with life coaching. I'm a believer in things like coaching and therapy. I'm a believer. I am a believer. But you use the term board of mentors. That was a new term for me. I would love to know a little bit about how mentoring, why it's important to have a board of mentors as opposed to singular mentor.
Sure. So, you know, probably a bit personal is throughout the course of my journey, you know, from a professional standpoint, you know, especially working, I think, as a female, you know, I found that information that I was looking for or guidance that I believe I was seeking, I was really trying to figure out, you know, where can I connect to that? Where can I find that? And certainly, you know, you can read, you can do research, but, you know, Lindsay had brought up a point around just, you know, having that in person. There's so much more that's available when you can get that, you know, from another person. And so, you know, so it really sparked this thought that I had around wanting to engage with, you know, specifically women who I felt embodied or had a point in which I was really aspiring to, and they were different. And so as I started moving along, you know, there may have been someone who I was really impressed with from a presentation standpoint, you know, was really on the ball, absolutely had, you know, everything that I would think about, you know, from a presentation standpoint. But then another individual who had, you know, really great business savvy and was able to negotiate in a really incredible way. And those people were different. And so what I've started doing for myself is just really aligning around a lot of different individuals who embody or allow me to connect to see areas in which I can continue to grow and develop in. Because again, one singular individual really isn't going to be able to encompass all of the things that I feel like I need from my growth and development. So it really spawned that desire. And then from there, you know, because it's such a passion, you know, I was able to bring that to an organization that I worked with, as well as when I was working with SHRM of Greater Phoenix on that board, you know, helped to really bring to life a wonderful mentorship program.
And so you talked earlier, Lindsay, about kind of time and energy management. And I think that that's probably a secret reason why we need a board of mentors as opposed to a singular mentor is because these mentors themselves don't necessarily have the capacity to just answer every challenge that we're going to come up against. And so I'm just, out of very personal curiosity, what were some of those techniques that you learned around time and energy management? That's a very selfish question that I'm asking you, not on topic at all, but I love it.
I'm happy to share. I know everybody's definition of success looks different and, you know, however they feel in that moment or like what a workday looks like as far as it being successful. I think that varies from person to person. To me, I tend to live a very busy schedule and I'm very social, so I'm always out and about meeting with people. But one strategy that I've identified that's a winning one for me is putting an extra 15 minutes on the very front and on the very back end of each one of my meetings, because that helps to set me up for success. So what consequently was happening, I think it's true for a lot of professionals, if we get so busy, we're rushing from one thing to another and we aren't actually present or engaged in those conversations because we're worried about what happened in the previous conversation or where we need to be next. So through that, now just...
That was my guilt sigh. Okay.
But I, by allowing a little extra time in my calendar, I was able to take a deep breath. I felt that I would be able to be prepared and that I would be more engaged and that I would be able to actively participate. And now, because I've been practicing that on a regular basis, I've built better and stronger relationships with people. And now I can truly like lean in and help them and we can figure out like what we can do to set both party up for success. The other one, this is one of my other favorite strategies. It took me a while to kind of figure this one out, but there's always going to be somebody that reaches out to you that says, hey, I would just love to get on your calendar. Mm-hmm. And as much as you want to meet with everybody, there just are not enough like physical hours right. in anybody's week to meet with everybody. So how I either figured out that I either have to delegate it, maybe make another introduction to somebody else that could help them with that need, or I've also realized maybe I just should introduce them to another person that I also need to meet with. So combine two or three meetings all at once.
Ooh.
And it checks all those boxes. Everybody is able to meet. And so that those two strategies have really helped me with time management.
That sounds like a dream.
Takes a lot of practice.
I remember trying to make an appointment for my grandmother the other day, and he's like, how's 4:30 on Friday? I was like, well, okay, that would be work for her, but I got to get my daughter, and then my son has basketball. And so I'm like managing all these like different calendars in my head. And so, can I combine it with something else that I'm already doing?
Yep. And something else, I would never put anything in my personal life on my work calendar. So consequently, what was happening is I was, for whatever reason, I was prioritizing stuff for work over stuff in my personal life. Like I would, so then my laundry wasn't getting done or I wasn't going to the gym because there weren't enough hours in the day. And so now I put absolutely everything on my calendar from the time I wake up in the morning, if I'm going to the gym, if I'm going to, take my dog to the vet or whatever it is, all the way down to what time is dinner. Do I need to do some email follow-up tonight when I get home? Everything is scheduled on there.
Accounting for your time.
Because if it's not on there, I'll spend a little extra time doing one other activity, and then I'm not able to accomplish all my goals for that given day or that given week. So
you don't strike me as the Facebook surfer got lost 3 hours in.
You know, I'm not going to lie. I do that. I think we all do it sometimes, but... I also think that you need to build some time in your calendar for rest and recovery. And so, taking some time to go and grab that cup of coffee or giving yourself a break, you know, I know for me, if I'm in the office for 3 or 4 hours at a time, then I do walk down to the coffee shop and just get, you know, just to get a couple extra steps in and to get my favorite
cup of... Feel the sunshine on your skin and get out of doors.
Yes.
I love it.
Yeah.
Now, you, Shannon, it's definitely no surprise to me that... You know, since you care so much about development, that you are involved in so many different organizations. And so I would love to know, how do you find the time to make it all happen on top of your full-time job?
I know. Sometimes I ask myself the same question. So, you know, I love what Lindsay was saying about being present. So, you know, I think for me, that's been a core as I've started really embarking on, you know, determining where I want to be and when I need to be there, and kind of using that as this basis of organization for myself so that I'm never compromising having space for myself and even being present for myself, let alone others. And so, you know, I've had to have some trade-offs in where I'm spending my time and really, you know, to the point that Lindsay made, you know, can I, you know, include others? Can I, you know, add in a time slot that I'm already doing something else? So trying to find ways in which to bundle different activities, you know, and one of the solutions that I had for myself, which I wasn't doing, was what Lindsay had just mentioned of using your calendar for everything personal and professional. So it just really helped me to have an understanding of, you know, what does my whole week look like? You know, where am I spending time? And allowed me and still allows me, even with a very heavy travel schedule, to go in and look at things in which, you know, is this really still something I need to attend? You know, does this really need to be an hour? So even for me, I've really moved my time schedule from, you know, what we like to do, which is, you know, plug an hour in to 45 minutes or even 30 minutes. Sometimes 20 minutes. So now I'm setting up just 20-minute meet and greets or 20-minute connection points. So just trying to be much more creative, you know, and truly Fridays, you know, Freedom Friday. So Fridays.
Freedom Friday.
Right. Fridays, I truly do try to create a day in which I have to myself or can choose, you know, to do something, you know, like what we're doing today, which is fantastic. But it's not a day that's chock full of meetings because I think that we need rest and recovery, like Lindsay was saying, especially going into a weekend so that we can reset, refocus, you know, get regrounded so that we're, you know, 100% ready for that next week ahead because we're always consumed with busyness, right? I mean, it's just something that is, you know, drives me kind of crazy, you know, when people say, how are you? I'm so busy. I'm so busy, right?
Mine is tired. I'm so tired.
But it's a choice, yeah. Right? Being busy is a choice. And so, you know, it's just figuring out within, you know, the construct of your world and your environment and your calendar, how you are making, you know, conscious decisions and choices, you know, to unbusy yourself.
So I love these tags, right? Freedom Friday. Aisha's got follow-up Friday. You know, there's Throwback Thursday. All these different things. But I love the thought of kind of giving a name to something. It seems like that makes a huge difference because your mind can go there, right? This is my Freedom Friday. No, you don't get to invade it.
Right?
There are certain people that have access to my Friday calendar, but not everybody does. And those certain people, they know who they are and they are extremely special to me. So yes, I'm looking that way. You know who you are. But this is really good. Now, one thing that you said earlier, and I want to kind of go back to this, because when you were telling your origin story, Shannon, you were talking about how you didn't start your career in HR, but that you shifted from operations to HR. And so sometimes I think we perceive development as this way up the corporate ladder, as opposed to sometimes development is sideways. Sometimes development is acquiring kind of, like you said, lateral skills that we didn't have, but we know we need in order to get where we're going. And so I wonder, outside of just taking another job, what else we could do to just kind of take advantage of some of those other types of non-vertical climbing kinds of development opportunities?
Yeah, that is such a great question because I think, you know, to the point you were making earlier, you know, we struggle, one, for time, two, for budget sometimes inside of companies. And, you know, and when I'm coaching kind of around this topic, you know, I think we as individuals should own our development. And that includes figuring out, you know, and mitigating where it is that we're going to be able to find that development. And so one of the things that, you know, I personally have done and love, you know, extending to others is to do shadowing, you know, is to find some time to go into an organization. And here in Phoenix, I mean, Lindsay and I were just talking, we have one of, I think, the very best business community, you know, in the United States. I just do. I think it's really special here.
I can't wait to plug in.
And so when you think about, you know, that opportunity, there's so many companies and business leaders here who would open arms have you come in, you know, meet with them, do some type of a job shadow for a day or a couple of days. You know, I think that there's other just volunteerism opportunities, which again, you don't need to be 100% committed on a board, but finding ancillary, you know, volunteer opportunities just to be involved. Through those, you're getting exposure to, you know, financials or getting exposure to marketing, social marketing. You're getting exposure to some things and information in which maybe you don't in your day to day, but then having that exposure, you can start to bring that into your work and figuring out, you know, to the degree of how do I maximize that? I have a new tool, right, in my toolkit that I'm able to use in a way in which I didn't know that I could prior to then having that exposure. So I think it's just being creative, you know, thinking outside the box from the traditional realm of you know, what we've always looked at from, you know, a trajectory of development, and just, again, really thinking different about how can I get what I'm searching for in a non-traditional way.
I hope you guys are listening because my goodness, what you just said, right? And we've probably heard those things before, but not so succinctly, right? Just so matter-of-factly. Here are some other ways to get to where you're trying to go. You don't have to necessarily take a different job, a lateral move. Sometimes you can shadow, you can volunteer, you can do some other things and get creative with it. And there are organizations who will gladly open their doors to create opportunities. Because there's something probably in it for them too.
Yep.
I cannot fathom a world in which somebody says nobody will give me a chance. I can't. And so I am, I'm now thinking, I'm kind of looking over in Lindsay's direction and grabbing a hold of a phrase that I'm borrowing from Shannon, which is the future of work. And so as we now set our sights toward the future of work, one of the things that I heard you say is that you're asking directly to these companies and entities, what do you need? What help do you need? What are you looking for? What's next? And so what are some of the things that you're hearing that might point us in the direction of the future of work?
Well, I immediately think of one of our upcoming conversations that's happening in November, just talking about enough about millennials. We've heard that term so many times. But what about Gen Z, which is the new workforce that's entering? So those individuals, I believe, are about 20 in the range of 9 to 24. Don't quote me on that. I may be wrong. But
I will not correct you because I don't know either.
But they're just entering the workforce. And so really preparing for what are they looking for? I think we have a firm grasp on the millennial generation. And people have been looking at open office environments. But now there's some trends that are happening and leaning towards, you know, more private offices again. So we can talk about what's happening in the physical work environment when it comes to amenities, you know, the cereal bars or, you know, the bars that they have in there or ping pong tables. I mean, certainly those trends tend to change.
Beer yeah. At workplaces. Yes. Okay.
So it all depends on the culture that they're looking to build. You know, certainly, I mean, there's a lot of different trends. So we can focus on culture. Diversity and inclusion is really coming up in a lot of organizations, just trying to figure out what are best practices and strategies. A lot of organizations now realize that they have to have some sort of corporate social responsibility plan. And if they don't have it on their website or if they're not actively participating, they are missing out on workforce or job opportunities or, you know, a lot of different things. So we're talking about everything that impacts the business. And so after each one of our events, like I mentioned before, we hand out that questionnaire and they tell us, you know, what we're going to be talking about in the year ahead. So right now we're in business planning. So if anybody has any great ideas of what they want to hear in 2020,
right,
we would love that feedback. But right now, I mean, I think we currently have like 300 topics that the business community has come back with. And we'll be looking to answer as many as we can. I believe we'll actually be hosting one event a week next year, which is pretty exciting.
Excellent. I cannot wait to just come see what's all the buzz and get to become part of that whole community. Corporate social responsibility is something that I'm picking up on as a phrase. It's an emerging concept, I guess, maybe decade old or so, but it makes me think of one of my clients who's actually exploring a career pathway into corporate social responsibility. So shout out to you. I will not name you, but hello. And so, Ms. Shannon, as you think about the future of work, what does that mean to you exactly?
It means a lot of things. I think it's around, you know, what Lindsay was talking about, just, you know, from the physical aspect, of course, you know, and how does it feel, you know, at work. But I think it goes also further around, you know, just the advent and, you know, framework of technology and truly how technology is impacting how we go about work. So, you know, I think the time I'm spending right now, you know, and immersing myself is really around, you know, what are those competencies and skills that we're going to need? You know, I even think about my son who's 13. Mm-hmm. You know, what are those things that my son is going to need to excel in the world in 10 years, in 20 years. And I think that it's different. I think it's different than it is today. It's going to have to be different. Yeah. You know, I was listening to an event podcast a couple of weeks ago, and one of the speakers had said, you know, the pace of change has never been faster than it is right now, and it will never be as slow as it is now. Right. And it just really got me thinking about, you know, what does that mean for me? What does that look like? You know, what does that look like when we're creating, you know, and establishing work environments and space for people, both physical and non-physical? You know, what does that gig economy look like? You know, and if I want to, you know, to be a gigger, you know, what does that mean for me? What does that mean around benefits and my retirement? Again, I think there are so many things that we still need to solve for as we're going through the journey of the future of work. And, you know, and I always say that the future of work is no longer the future. It's now. You know, we need to be building now, looking at those things that, you know, are impacting our ability to be successful now. And there are so many things that are disrupting how we work, how we live, you know, even our own ideals. You know, we talk about corporate responsibility. You know, I think that alignment and the reason that we hear so much about millennials is because they're purpose driven. And not that any other workforce group was not purpose driven. They're just much more vocal about it. You know, they have a different sense of, you know, what they're willing to put up with at work because we've given them a voice and we have social media. But it doesn't mean that, you know, as a Gen Xer, I also don't want purpose, right? And so again, I just think we're, you know, there's just so many things that are impacting our world and how we as individuals show up in that is probably going to be the largest course for me of change. You know, and again, what competencies and abilities do I need to have in my own toolkit and in my arsenal to be able to be successful, you know, as we move ahead. And they are not the things that, you know, that we traditionally had been educated on, quite frankly.
That's good. And so, so it makes me look right back to Lindsay and what you guys are doing with AZ BizLink, right? Yep. If you're talking directly to the employers who will be looking for that next wave of talent, then doesn't it make sense to be paying attention to the responses coming out of that room so that you can now start putting yourself in position to learn the skills that they're going to be looking for 5 years from now, and you are not being left behind? How much sense does that make?
I'm slightly biased, but I think it makes a lot of sense. I feel like if you're not constantly looking for ways to improve your organization or disrupt your industry, then you're going to fall behind and there's other people that are going to outpace you. So yeah, I think you need to be thinking about what you need to be changing or how you need to be growing as an organization.
So I'm curious, what types of folks are are in the audience of AZ BizLink? Like, who's there? Is it only in the employers? Or are they some super smart professional people there too?
So when we started back in 2017, we had a lot of human resource professionals because they were really focused on how you attract and retain that top talent. But as we know, human resources is one small part of that conversation. You have to have the entire executive leadership team on board to implement those changes. So we've grown. I mean, our demographics really, I mean, we include operations, C-suite executives, entrepreneurs. But now that we've provided those leadership events, we have anybody in a management or leadership role or those individuals that are ready to take their careers to the next level but don't know how to do it, we're providing that training for them.
Okay. So, again, I repeat, no excuses. Because, listen, development for development's sake is perfectly fine. But strategically developing yourself is even better. If you can focus your time and energies into the right things and learning the right skills that are going to make you competitive into the future, yes, do that. Right? If you, and I preach all the time about volunteering, you know, volunteer experience is still experience. And you mentioned that earlier, Shannon. And so, if you're going to volunteer, we do not all have to serve the homeless in the soup kitchen. If you're trying to acquire a certain skill or develop a certain skill, go volunteer in that specific area so that you can come out on the other side of that experience with a new skill under your belt, something else to put on your resume to beef that thing up and become even more competitive in the marketplace. Does that about sum it up?
Yes, you've got it. That's fantastic.
And so tell us, I know that you sit on the board of AZ BizLink, and you are just, you founded that thing and you're just watching it grow and morph into new levels. What kinds of events and different things are coming up? I saw one that I think you've already maybe recorded it, but it's not been aired yet. It was like workplace violence. It was like, right? This is real talk. This is stuff we can't go run and hide from these topics. This is real talk. And so what other kinds of topics are coming up that people can maybe think about participating in?
Yeah. So thank you for bringing that up. So we do have the AZ BizLink podcast where we do cover some other non-traditional type topics, but still impact the overall organization. So on the AZ BizLink podcast, we did cover the topic of how you prepare for workplace violence and an active shooter campus. It's an uncomfortable conversation, but at the same time, I feel like it's very important and people need to have some sort of a game plan together.
Yes.
So people have brought that to my attention that they care about it. I know that that doesn't apply to the masses, but if they want that kind of information, I'll find them the right resources or we'll talk about it. But certainly moving forward with a lot of our podcasts, we're kind of preparing or talking about what's to come with our events. And so next year, we will be covering topics that include corporate social responsibility.
Yay!
We will be covering topics around workforce development and leadership development, which that's at our core. But something else that I'm very excited about, and Aisha is going to be a tremendous resource for us, it's our branding series. So we're going to be talking about how you build your personal and professional brand. For the longest time, we've been really focused on how companies build their brand. But as leaders in the community, we also need to be able to build our personal brand at the same time. So that's I think that one will be really great. And we're partnering with Rensselaer Media on that one. And then, you know, we're in conversations right now, but potentially adding another group on diversity and inclusion. So stay tuned. The calendar is coming out soon,
probably
within the next 30 to 60 days. But, you know, the other opportunities are we're partnering with other organizations, certainly love to collaborate. I feel like if we can all work together to have more of these conversations, it's that much more beneficial. And so I know, so AZ BizLink has partnered with the EX Summit, which is happening in October. Shannon's going to be sitting on one of those
all
panel
right.
discussions. So once you see us at one or two events, you'll probably see us all the time. But love to partner with those kind of organizations. AZ BizLink has also partnered with Local First for their conference in January. So the one thing that I would love to share with the business community as a whole, if you are looking to host any educational event or something that relates to the topics we cover at AZ BizLink, whether I can provide contacts for panel discussions or just other additional resources that we have I'm happy to be that connection point.
Tell us, all those out in radio land, how do they find out more about what's going on and upcoming events at AZ BizLink?
We have a website. It's azbizlink.com, which covers almost everything that we do. The podcast is on any platform, so you can find us on iTunes, you name it. So yeah, just simply by Googling AZ BizLink, we're on LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram. And if you want to join our email blast, you can do that via our website.
Yeah, one of you had like 6,000 followers on LinkedIn? I think that was you.
It's got to be Lindsay.
You had thousands, but she had like 6,000. I was like, oh my gosh. She knows everybody.
Okay. We're getting there. Our community is still pretty large. So I think we have like 4.5 million people here. So slowly, I'll get to know them all.
You sure will. At this rate, you just keep doing what you're doing. And so is there anything new and exciting that's getting ready to happen coming out of waste management? I know you guys do the big, Phoenix Open in February, right?
Yes. Yep.
And so what else is going on over there that people can think about plugging into?
Sure. Yeah. So, of course, you know, WIMPO is our large event. And certainly, I think all of our effort moves into that right now. So construction started. You know, the Thunderbirds are doing an incredible job of organizing through that as well. You know, and we're always, you know, again, one of the things that I love about our community you know, our community outreach is that, you know, we really want to be local. So we're partnering with the city of Buckeye for the Halloween event. You know, we do a lot with the city of Chandler and other, you know, local communities here and just smaller, you know, outreach events that our frontline folks are, you know, leading and connecting to, which I love because it's really, you know, I think it gets our employees, you know, connected and doing things that they love and that's important to them. And so that, you know, I love that kind of side of the things that we do is, you know, certainly we want, you know, to partner with, you know, municipalities and cities, but we also look for opportunities that are really connected to where our employees feel like, you know, they want to be connected and find time to do that.
I also want to mention that just in my brief research, I found out that Waste Management was a 2018 employer of choice for women. And so I don't take that lightly, right? There are organizations that claim to care about their people, and there are organizations that actually care about their people. And so those kinds of things, recognitions through the community are evidence of actual genuine concern for the people that work with you. And so hats off to you guys.
Yes, thank you.
All right. And so as we're wrapping up on time here, I want to do a quick lightning round with you, just a super duper quick one. And so what is the best way to develop yourself on a budget, Shannon?
Find a mentor.
Find a mentor. Yes. Lindsay, best networking tip?
Go to an AZ BizLink event.
Yay! And with that, I cannot have ended on a happier note. Thank you so much. I'm going to have you say your name again, Shannon
Teixeira
and Lindsay Mullenburnt. AZ BizLink, Waste Management, you guys have just helped us all to position ourselves better through professional development. I thank you for the very practical tips and tools, Board of Mentors, Freedom Fridays, shadowing, volunteering, delegation, bundling meetings, all of these really, really specific and effective tools. And don't forget about AZ BizLink. And so keep yourself positioned for the future of work, of your work, whatever that is, plug in with organizations like AZ BizLink, but get busy developing yourself. And until next time, keep pushing.
Thank you for joining us at the Day Before Monday podcast. We hope you have a renewed sense of confidence and strategy to create a more enjoyable career. For more from our host, Brenda Cunningham, please visit pushcareermanagement.com and follow her on Facebook and LinkedIn. See you next month with a new installment of The Day Before Monday, every fourth Friday at 1 p.m., live on PhoenixBusinessRadioX.com. Until next time, keep pushing.